Welcome to Fitness Fridays on the Construction Life Podcast, brought to you by Pure Motivation Fitness and myself, Coach Dimitri, your go-to expert for building strength, energy, and a blueprint for mindset. With over 29 years of body type training experience, coaching men and women to unlock their peak performance, I cut through the noise to give you the real, no BS strategies that will fit your lifestyle, whether you're on the job site or hitting the gym. No gimmicks, no fluff, just science-based back fitness, motivation, and the tools you need to perform at your best. Stay tuned because you're about to change the way you think about your health, performance, and mindset. Are you ready to kick it? Let's go. Welcome to another amazing episode of Fitness Fridays, brought to you by Coach Dimitri and Pure Body Type Training. I'm here with Manny in your amazing Construction Life Podcast Man Cave here.
It's the Fitness Fridays Man Cave now. That's what it is. Bro. A whole new series that we're working on where we're going to basically help tradespeople, men of all ages. But we know you guys, 24 to 45. We know you guys and girls. We're going to talk about women as well.
We have to.
They're part of the industry, right? So, but every episode is going to be about issues that are going on with our bodies inside out. Simple as that, man.
And I think we're doing this because we want to remind people that you don't just have to be fit if you want to live a healthy lifestyle in the corporate world. You don't just got to be fit if you want to be a fit parent. You got to be fit in whatever realm of job you are. And especially if you're in the trades industries, man, you're using your body like an Olympic athlete. You're just doing repetitive movements on a day-to-day basis. And what I really, really enjoy about being able to be here and spread this is because anyone listening right now that's roughing in a wall, or anyone that's, did I even say that right? Can you rough in a wall?
Yeah, swinging a hammer. Anyone
swinging a hammer right now listening, you can actually take action. And if we give you some tips here, you can actually go home and take action on small baby steps, get your wife involved in your family, and actually change your lifestyle from listening to this podcast.
So what I love, Coach, is this show, it's about little problems that we all have, for the most part, ignore, and how they become big problems. And I want to start the show just by sharing a little story of a friend who was having difficulty just walking around. He was just ignoring the little problem.
You got it.
And then all of a sudden, he discovered that he had a wound on one of his feet, the soles.
Pretty normal.
And dry skin turned into a wound, wouldn't heal. Ignored it for months and months and months, got to the point where it went to the hospital. And then the conversation about amputation came up.
He's got to have something issues with type 2 diabetes.
When I first talked to you about it, that's the first thing that you said. Right. And sure enough, it was actually connected to that. Then you start discovering really quickly that if you have some sort of diabetic issue attached to your body, the blood vessels are not going to the wound, which actually you require to heal the wound. So he's been
full of glucose.
It's taking care of the wound, but he's been going for 2 months plus now to take care of the wound on a daily basis. Oh, he's on every other day. But conversations of amputating the toe led to possibly the foot.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, and he's a 50 some odd man.
Yeah.
And he never thought that that would have been a whole part of the thing. Now it's bouncing back, which is great, but it doesn't get rid of all the future problems. He has to be aware of all this stuff. So that's why it got me thinking when you asked me, what do we want to talk about next? Yeah, I said, little problems that we ignore because we're stupid, stubborn men at any age.
100%.
And how they become a big problem. And just the thought of like, listen, you could lose a toe, you could lose a foot from this. And this, like you said, and I've spoken to other people too, it's a common problem.
Of course, man. Of course. And people don't pay attention to it. The title of this podcast is Small Injuries Today, Big Problems Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the main thing we have to remember is the body we have is a gift from whomever you believe in, religiously gave it to you. But for me, it's God. And whether you're in the trades, whether you're in a corporate downtown office, you know, doing whatever it is, whether you're, I don't know, an artist, you got to take care of your body. And for anybody listening right now, it starts off with understanding that there's no more excuses.
Yeah.
I made a really cool post 2 days ago. When a boy becomes a man, it's when he realizes that no one's going to come fucking save you.
Nope.
We got to be, you know, on our own to do this. So
it's up to you to actually make the decision to do it. You can rattle your brain over and over and just try to motivate yourself to do and talk and like until you do it, nothing's getting done.
And you know, we're talking about everyday aches and pains. We're talking about tightness that workers brush off. You know, not realizing that it's the early signs of bigger problems that are coming. Okay. And you know that by addressing these warning signs early, you avoid consequences later on in your lifestyle, right?
How many grown adults wake up with stiffness from their bed, from sleeping, then they get their day started, then they hop into their vehicle to go to work with stiffness, then they get out of their vehicle with stiffness, then they spend entire day with stiffness. Why is that happening? Where's the stiffness coming from?
The stiffness is coming from one, depending on if it's bone, joint, or muscle related. Let's break that down. So one, if there's stiffness because your bones are getting weak, that's going to feel a little different. I feel sometimes either when it's really, really cold and the weather changes, and anyone who has arthritis here would understand it, or when it's really, really hot, and people who have, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, your joints start to swell up in the heat and then they compress in the winter.
Yeah.
So when you have joint wear and tear, it's because there's overusage of the joint. There's no strengthening of the joint. And then let's be realistic, bro. You are what you eat.
Yep.
So if you keep eating shit and you're putting shit in your body and you start off with breakfast, which is processed, you know, egg McMuffin, fake cheese, maybe it's an egg, in a bun that's fucking garbage with a coffee triple. Then your next thing is a patty from the coffee truck. And then the next thing is a bob. If you're eating constant garbage food, now you have inflammatory markers happening in your body. So your body's trying to get healthier. And some men don't even get the proper vitamin C they need in a day because the only vegetable they have is when they go home at night and the wife makes them a dinner.
So the stiffness, and you get this inflammation going on, it's just contributing to this, it's making it worse.
Well, it is. And also you got to think of this, when you have a muscle, like let's look at ankles and knees.
Okay.
If someone's not doing leg extensions and they're working on the anterior part of the leg, the front part of the quad, the four quadriceps muscles, if they're not doing any quad dominant movements, leg extension, squats, lunges, you're not protecting the front shield of the thigh. If you're not doing no Romanian deadlifts, no leg curls, no balance work, the backside of your leg is getting weak. So now when you have this beautiful, you know, femur, then you got your patella and you got your knee joint and you got your tibia and fibula, you have these bones that are supposed to move every day in perfect alignment, but then you got these tendons and ligaments which attach to them that are saying, yo, I'm getting weaker. It's like you're a piece of steel, I'm a piece of steel, and between us we got a ligament. Well, if you're not strengthening that bloody ligament by doing balance movements,
it will get weaker.
It's gonna get weaker. So then you have inflammation occurring there, and then you have sudden movement where you wake up, you get down, you go down a flight of stairs, you go to work, you're picking up heavy shit, you're bending over, you're not doing it properly. That area now is inflamed. It's saying you're not helping me out.
But the inflammation is coming from you're not using it.
It's strained
and
now.
And then you use it at one point, but you've used too much of it.
You either use too much of it too quickly in one shot.
And that's the inflammation.
Or like, look at me right now. I told you when I walked in here, I'm limping. You're like, why are you limping for, bro? So last Sunday, went to a basketball tournament with my son. In between quarters, me and these little kids were shooting. I'm doing some cool moves. No pain, bro. I know my body like a T. Monday morning, I wake up and then all of a sudden I got pain in the medial side of my ankle. I'm like, okay, this is fucking bullshit. So I took an Advil. My rule is, if you're going to take a little bit of anti-inflammatory the first 24 hours, you're okay. But after 24 hours, bro, if your body's bugging you, it's a signal.
There's something.
And the beauty of the human body is the body has nerves and sensories that say, hey, something's wrong here. So what do I do Tuesday? I go to my doctor right away. He's like, you again. I'm like, yeah. He's like, what are we doing now? Where are we ultrasounding? Where are we x-raying? I'm like, left ankle. He's like, why? I got pain. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, let's get it done. We got the OHIP system. So I get it done. I go, I get the ultrasound with the lady who's all grumpy, didn't want to fucking talk to me. She's like, argh. And then the next day I get my results. And then boom, at least I know I have a strained, I didn't even know there's a deltoid tendon in your ankle. Deltoid is a shoulder.
So what did you do? You just overextended that one tendon?
It could have been probably okay. Because when I train, I do a proper movement prep warm up, which goes through ankles, knees, hips and all. It could have been something that I did that day or I stepped a little weird, but I took action to go get a diagnosis of an image.
Yeah.
And the problem is dudes driving, listening, hammering right now have been having pain for fucking years.
They ignore it.
They ignore it. I ask guys sometimes. It's the
worst thing you can do.
Do you know your testosterone level? No. Have you checked your, have you got an ultrasound? It's like, oh, I'm going to go one day. Fools, go get it done. At least now I got some kind of imagery done. I can now start with my RICE method, rest, ice, compress, elevation. I can take some anti-inflammatories. I'm seeing my physio, Mike Dadio, and I'm going to start wrapping my foot. Like, look how many things I'm going to do. I'm going to buy Kinesio tape and wrap it properly. I'm going to be icing it 3 times a day. I'm not going to train legs. I'll train upper body. But I'm taking care of it right away. That way it doesn't get worse. And most injuries... with tightness and stiffness or minor discomfort, they're ignored. And it's like a pinched nerve. You're lifting up drywall. You're always lifting up drywall. You're always lifting up drywall. Well, dude, if you don't fix that, you may tore a rotator cuff. Then you can't go work for your family.
Then you're going to basically put more strain on a secondary or another element that makes the foot becomes a thigh problem or quad problem, then it becomes a lower back problem. Exactly, right?
So what you're referring to is
when you could have just, like you said, diagnosed it,
isolate that shit.
And then isolate it. But then you also mentioned in the isolation factor of everything, you still are planning on doing the exercises on the other parts of the body that are not affected by that.
Of course.
Because there are other parts of the body that are not affected
by
that.
Of course.
You're not going to completely shut down your routine to keep things going just because your ankle's gone, or if your wrist is gone, or if your whatever, your shoulder. You got to figure out how you can work around it while it heals.
Dude, one of my clients, Jim Emanuelidis, I call him the Greek freak if he's watching. What up, Jimmy? he tore his bicep. Not in our gym. I think it was him grabbing something quickly. I have two or three guys that I've met torn their bicep.
Tore him like
right up to the shoulder, bro.
Ah.
And he was a fit dude, but I guess somehow he grabbed something really heavy. He didn't prepare for it. He didn't brace for it. He tore it. He bought training. He's always been bought training with us. And he goes, what do I do now? I go, well, you gotten everything pinned up. You're good. You're in a sling. Yeah. Okay. Come to the gym. He's like, what do you mean? I go, well, let's train your fucking left arm. Let's train your legs. Let's have you doing leg extensions, braced one-arm lunges, one-arm rows, one-arm presses. And he thought, like, shouldn't I take time to wait? Because his doctors always say, don't do nothing. Wait at home. Don't train. Let it heal. Well, the brain, the nervous system, the electro, the neurological sensory highway between damaged bicep to fresh bicep to brain is still alive. So when you go to the gym and you're doing bicep curls, your left-hand side,
it's assisting.
It's connected.
Is it really?
Of course, bro. Because Sam A., another client of mine who comes to our club, he's got a long last name, I can't pronounce it, but he tore his bicep too. And I said to him, bro, how'd you fucking tear the bicep? That he just joined, I think it was a month later. And he's been here with us for like a year now. And he goes, I went to grab something really quickly and boom, it tore. So I said to him, well, same thing. You're gonna have to come train. And he's like, really? In the sling, left hand, working out the other areas, training your legs builds up the other areas. And what you were talking about was the pain moving up the body.
Yeah.
So when your knee hurts, it's probably because of the joint above and below, which are not balanced, which means your hip and your ankle aren't working properly. So something's imbalanced, right? If your elbow's hurting, it's typically due to an overpowering forearm flexors or extensors or bicep and tricep. And where do all skinny guys get injured? Tennis elbow. You're looking at one.
Mm-hmm.
I got PRP injections twice in my elbow through Dr. Gallia because strong biceps, strong triceps, strong shoulders, my forearms are going to be as strong as they are. Other than grabbing a barbell and hanging from barbells all my life, I don't really do the forearm flexion extension. Think about it. Bodybuilder, gym owner, personal trainer. But to me, you know, I'm a strong, like if you're deadlifting 350 pounds,
you're already kind of
without straps, your hands are good. Yeah. My calluses can prove them.
Yeah.
But because I never done that, I created a deficiency, a muscular imbalance. Look at soccer players. They'll always come to me with knee issues. Well, why do you think? They're quadricep dominant. Their hamstrings are fucking tiny. They're always running and kicking and they're using the quad dominant part. Look at people who fall. usually got no ass and no fucking hamstrings.
Yeah.
They got no grip strength, seniors. If you have grip strength, you can, if you have strong grip strength, your life expectancy, I think, to, according to Dr. Piatia, don't quote me on this, but it was almost like a 10-year to 15-year increase if you just have the strength to hold yourself from a bar, even as a senior. Because if you can hold your body weight, typically when you go to full, you got to grab something.
You got
to
grab.
Okay. Or if you're a senior and when you go to senior homes, why do you think when you go to retirement homes, the fucking toilets are elevated by at least a half a foot?
Yeah.
Because they can't hinge. They can't push their hips back in balance. So they need to hold on to a railing or else they fall. Right? So
how do we get that core with the hand? How do we get that strength? That's all forearm.
Well, the best way to do it, man, is lifting heavy objects and hanging is the best way to go. But not everyone, people are like, what am I going to hang? You know, well, you can go to fucking Amazon if you want to do this today and take action. You buy a chin-up bar. I bought one for my son. You hang it up. And thank God I listened to my wife. I put little pieces of foam and sock around the end so it doesn't fucking scrape the paint job so your wife's not going to leave you. Once you put that there, you hold onto the bar. You take your toes off the ground. Just hold. Another way is just grabbing dumbbells that are heavy. Stand. Hold onto them. You're do farmer carries them. And walk.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're not doing that, it's going to affect you. And then the earliest signs include limited range of motion.
Yep.
Joint cracking and then pain after resting. So
joint cracking?
Yeah, man.
Well, your hair, like, really?
Yeah. I'll tell you this. And for all the viewers watching, you're going to think, he must be like in bad shape. You got to remember something. When I train at my club sometimes and no one's there and I don't put music on and I do leg extensions.
You're hearing a crack?
Yeah, bro.
Snap, crackle, pop.
I hear a little.
Really?
I can feel the little, but I don't have any pain. So when I went to the doctor, I'm like, bro, tell me what's going on. Do I need surgery? He goes, brother, you got to understand one thing. There's two types of pain you're going to have. There's going to be pain from you being strong and being able to move and have flexibility and strength and vitality and run and swim and bike. And then if you go to a certain degree like your sport, which is heavy lifting, you will slowly break down the bone and joint because you cannot sustain 80 to 90% of your 1RM max from 47 and on. You need drugs, bro. And I'm, again, natural guy, ectomorphic, different body type with you. You're a meso.
Yeah.
That's one area. And the second area, which is the worst one, is when you don't work out, you don't take care of your bones, and now you're fucking 47, 50, and your bone density is weaker than a woman's, now you're fucked because now you're going to have long-term pain, which is going to be worse because the bone marrow is weak, the thickness of the bone, the tendons, the ligaments. Now you're trying to build it up at 50, which still can, but it's not the same. So the hearing the cracking sometimes is one thing. If it's cracking with pain, you got to tell yourself, right off the bat, for anyone listening is, what's my pain threshold? 0 to 5. There should be no one listening today saying, oh, he's right, my back hurts. There's, oh, you know what, my shoulder. They should be saying, oh, he's right, my back hurts on a scale 4 to 5. Now we're getting closer. If you say, how you doing, Manny? And you're like, oh, my back hurts. Oh, what happened? Oh, I got injured. Oh, what are you doing about it? Oh, I'm seeing this. The most important thing is, what's your pain threshold? 0 to 5. It's a 4, okay. Now we're just a fucking 4. Do some therapy, ice it, take some medication. A week later, where's your number at? It's around 3. Now we gauge it. That's super important because people will overconsume medication because they think it's going to fucking help. That's why after 3-4 days, Advil I don't even take because all I'm doing is I'm tricking my body.
Yeah, the medication is masking.
That's it. First 24 to 78 hours, your body's in inflammation. Ibuprofen is going to help out. But after 3 months, 2 months, bro, all you're doing is getting your body used to that. And just like a type 2 diabetic, when you become insulin resistant, you become resistant to the medication. Now you need to go to your doctor and give me some fucking prescribed shit. And now this is where people go down the list of whether you're a tradesperson or a corporate guy where you get fucking hooked on medication.
It's dependency at that point.
Yes.
Why do you want to be dependent on anything when you actually should solve the injury
right. From
it becoming escalating. That's all it is.
So people need to understand, like, if your knees feel fine during the day, but they ache in the morning, when you get out of bed, that's not normal. Like, as we get older, you will feel some creaks. Like, when I step out of bed, my Achilles tendons, for the last 2 weeks, boom, it's like they say, hey, buddy, we're here. And I can feel
them. They're just tight?
They feel tight. So, again, what am I doing? I'm doing some ankle movement prep. I do a few squats. I extend my legs. I feel better. But if that pain persists throughout the whole day, there's a dysfunction, either structurally with the body's mechanic and bones, or from a muscular point where the spasm. So you may have a guy who was working all day and was doing a lot of shit with his right hand, picking up shit with his right hand and drilling with his right hand. And again, people in the trades, 10 years of screwdriving with one arm and not saying, you know what, I'm going to change it up and go one each. I know it sounds crazy, but you develop repetitive stress syndrome.
Of course you do.
So if that's going to continuously happen, then you're going to say, okay, you know what, I have a pain in my back. It feels like a little bit of a knot, but I'm just going to let it go. Bro, that's not a bone issue, first of all. Second of all, it's not a tear in the tendon or the muscle. It's a spasm. So now think of a fucking spider web and a nice clean spider web with all the lines going certain directions. And then I take my finger and I squeeze a little bit in the middle. And now that bit in the middle is all tangled up.
A knot.
Knot. And what do muscles do? They contract and they also relax. But when something's in fucking spasm, it's holding. So now you have this beautiful back, spine in the middle, latissimus dorsi, rhomboids, trapezius, this beautiful body, but the human is doing one at a time. So that part starts getting knotty. They don't go home and stretch. They don't stretch midday during their lunchtime. Now that knot becomes worse. So now when that knot's getting tighter, it's gonna say, hey, Traps, I know you're atop of me. I'm fucking tight. Every time you do that hammer thing, I'm gonna pull you a little bit down because I'm a little bit weak. So now you have strain in another area. So the spasm.
Does the knot grow?
Gets worse. The knot can get worse. The knot can get to the point where it's so tight that now it becomes nerve related.
So I would say in the industry, that's probably the number one issue. People have a lot of lower back knots, stiffness. And I, unfortunately, you already said it. It's taken care of by medication.
Worst way.
As a chronic. But see, that's not what you want to do. You can fix this other ways, right?
The soreness, I put here, soreness fades away in a couple of days, but the ache lingers for weeks after you move on, right? Yeah. And a stat here, according to the OSHA, over 33% of construction worker injuries are musculoskeletal disorders. Many starting from minor discomfort that goes unaddressed. Right? That's from my first point. And again, it's like a crack in the Titanic, bro. How did that thing sink? It was the biggest thing in the world. It hit an iceberg, a little bit of water, it grows, boom, sunk. So if people think of their bodies as a mechanism, a machine where you have, okay, I'm a drywaller. I love my job. I love my profession. I'm a painter. I fucking paint these big ass homes and my team goes in, we make big contracts, we get cash money and we do whatever. But bro, my right shoulder has been doing this for years. So that movement of this movement right here isn't even doing what this muscle's supposed to do.
It's not designed, your body's not
designed. The shoulder was designed to either come from a lateral movement from here. It was designed to either work the rear deltoid or to press anterior, right? So if you're not doing a little bit of this, a little bit to the side, a little bit to the rear, you got this deltoid of muscle that's strapped over the shoulder, the most beautiful joint. And because you're not working it now, there's three main guys, anterior, lateral, and posterior. Let's say the lateral and the posterior never get worked because tradespeople and in general do anterior movements. Yeah. So now over time, this guy's doing this. His anterior deltoid is so fucking strong and so tight because he's doing so much movement that one day he hears pop and he goes, what the fuck happened? I tore one of my rotator cuff muscles. Why? Because you haven't done nothing with them. So it's like, I'm hoping you guys can look at me as a ball breaker, but also as a savior in a point, because you can hear my tonality. I'm getting pumped up because we do not have to have this lifestyle.
So how do you prevent that? You prevent that by actually making the other muscles around the potential problem muscle
stronger. You got to activate them.
Yeah. That's how you prevent the injury from getting worse.
Because if you're not activating all the muscles in the planes of movement that God made us to do, that goes back to a few episodes we talked about functional training, which is the planes of motion. Vertical press, vertical pull. This right here takes care of way different muscle groups than a horizontal push and a horizontal pull.
Yeah.
My rear deltoids get a lot of movement from the pull from here and the pull from here. So that's what happens.
No, like I
you
get said, it.
You
I
need
totally
to work
agree.
The other opposing muscle groups. And in the lifestyle that people live, they don't do those things. So all their muscles know is I'm twisting, I'm lifting, and I'm pushing. That's it. So it's a big imbalance. Another thing I want to talk about here is the construction lifestyle. High wear, low care. Okay, what do I mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
I mean that construction workers are physical powerhouses. I've met some fucking bricklayers in my time. Some good old Italian guys, Portuguese guys coming into my gym.
Bulldogs.
Bro, they're like 61 years old, 55 years old, 70 years old. Their fingers are thick. Little traps, they're strong guys. But the physical labor is going to wear down on you if you're not actively taking care of your body outside of work. So that's why construction workers in the trade need to recognize, yeah, we're more active than the dude who's sitting at the desk all day. He's sitting in a desk, his spine's not getting movement, his hip flexors are totally not working at all, he's got no circulation going to his leg, and I'm moving and hustling all day, great. But at the end of the day, because you're a bricklayer picking up shit overly, you're putting stress onto the body, right? You're in settings where you're smelling tar when they're doing asphalt in the ground. You're working in settings where there's dust. And if you're not wearing a mask, you're inhaling all that shit. And a lot of young guys are like, oh, don't worry, I don't need it.
They're supermen. I know, I get it.
Right? So we want to make sure we do that.
But then they go to sleep and then they wake up and they're full of stiffness everywhere.
Yep.
And that's just a recipe for problems.
One of the issues is repetitive movements and posture on site cause serious imbalances over time, like we talked about. And the imbalances over time are what make this a problem. It's not like you're supposed to get injured. You're supposed to get hurt in life. And when you do get hurt, our body's mechanism is like a car sensor that says, yo, I got tingling in my ankle. Do something about it.
Yep.
But as a grown man, and I'm not speaking to women here, I'm talking to men. When you're so fucking stubborn and you're so ego-centered with your brain that you do not want to go to a doctor or take 3 hours out of your day, I don't give a shit if you're gonna, you need to make up the money. Tell your boss, listen, I love you. I got to check my ankle out. I'm going to come in Sunday and do 3 hours extra. Please don't dock my pay.
Yeah.
But when you take that time to go get checked out and get imaging, then you can come to a guy like me and say, here's my piece of paper. Boom. I can design a program for you to do at home, in the gym, give you suggestions and make things better, right? Another point is being active for work isn't the same as training to build resilience.
It's two different actions.
And even though you're swinging a hammer every day and you're hitting something hard, it doesn't replace the benefits of doing a seated row.
Yeah.
Some guys are like, bro, you don't know. I work construction all day. I rough in basements and I do. And I'm like, I get it, sir. Please don't get me wrong.
The repetitive action, though.
It's not making anything stronger.
No.
And half the time, they're not using their legs as much as they are upper body.
What it's really doing, as you mentioned earlier, it's just a time capsule, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time before you injure something as a result of repeatedly doing the exact same action and not factoring in the rest of the actions around that one action.
It's like a strong upper body is not going to save you from low back pain or hamstring tears. It's not.
It's going to happen.
100%. And a little quote that I put here today was, you take care of your tools, your truck, and your gear. Why not your body? Right?
Well, that's the ego man male mindset bullshit, right? They just like, they'll take care of their tools, their truck, and their gear, but then they'll ignore their body, the one tool that's the most important. Because if your body falls apart, you can't use your tools, your truck, your gear.
Yep.
Like, you know the quote, right? Everyone's got 1,000 problems until they have one problem, which is their health.
Their health.
Then they only have one problem. That's it.
I got stats here because I want to make sure the guys listening are not going to think I'm just some trainer that's on a vengeance.
No, they're not going to think that.
The Canadian Center for Occupational Health reports that construction workers are twice as likely to suffer from chronic back pain and knee pain compared to other professions.
You see it. I see it all the time. I see it all the time.
So I think there should be a little bit more education from the companies who employ. I feel like I'm going to hit the big construction companies on Monday with educational emails because they should. You could either give your employees a little bit more of a raise, which they probably would love right away, or say, you know what? I'm going to cover you for a portion of a gym membership, or I'm going to cover you for a portion a of
great idea instead of giving them Ozempic.
Yeah, Ozempic or fucking. You're going to buy this guy a pickup truck.
You know that, right? Do you know that?
Which the companies are doing the now?
The union, you get Ozempic.
Oh, really?
Oh, you didn't know that?
Fucked. I didn't know that.
It's part of the union.
Wow.
You can get weed, Ozempic, and the third one.
That is unfucking believable.
Yeah, you have a certain allowance every year to get it. Isn't that...
See, this is stupid now because this is where unions, again, they're keeping their people glued in and
I know, but it's stupid.
And brainwashed.
They should be getting you
right.
Telling them
right.
what to do to get rid of these two, chronic and knee pain. Chronic back and knee pain.
Because again, guys that are going to be type 2 diabetics listening and be like, oh, well, you know, it's the doctors say to take it, GLP-1. But if you do it the proper way, you're not going to have all the issues with loss of lean mass, gastrointestinal issues. And also you're not taking a product where the 0.25 milligram recommendation of Ozempic, because me and my wife did a big research on this.
I just found the third one.
She's type 1.
I just found the third
one. What is the third one?
Viagra.
Oh, wow. Fuck, guys. As much as I want to say, hit the Viagra up. I would say, come on, man, do some pelvic thrusts, do some lying back hip thrusters.
So instead of health, making the worker healthier, here's some medication.
But again, are they paying for it?
So it's part of their making, union dues,
and right? they get it prescribed for free, or they got to pay for it?
They don't pay for it. They get a certain allowance.
There's got to be they make some fucking money.
$1,500 worth per year.
Wow. Instead of giving them a gym membership allowance or a personal trainer, you got to hire a legit trainer.
It's a good point, D. Like, honestly, would you rather, as a union worker, be given an allowance to go to the gym, so it's part of your dues and they give you an allowance, or would you rather the Ozempic and Viagra and weed?
Wow.
And I think, honestly, just from the face of the union industry, I would just look at it and I go, I think they're going to take the three. They won't take the gym membership.
And that's like a quick fix culture, is what I'm talking about, a band-aid solution, where we've normalized. I didn't know this until today.
Oh, I learned
they've,
that recently.
They've normalized this now. And painkillers, wraps, you know, all these things are denial things.
But right? You also know that specifically Ozempic and Viagra, they may help short-term in the beginning, but what they actually do is damage long-term. And this show is about that.
And you got to keep taking it, bro.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But it's causing pain over, like, it's going to make it worse later on when you eventually do get off of it.
Right.
It'll be worse off. You'll be worse off.
And here's the thing. We did research with my wife, Francesca, because she's a type 1. And the 0.25 milligram dosage, and there's a Dr. Tina Moore who really explained this to me so amazingly. She had a vial with red liquid.
Okay.
And she had a little... syringe.
Okay.
And she went in and she pulled the syringe and she pulled 0.25 milligrams of the Ozempic, of what the dose is that they would prescribe for type 1. Because with a type 1 diabetic, their body's not producing as much insulin or just doesn't produce at all. And the GLP-1 factors of this product help assist in telling the pancreas, hey, you should try to assist a little bit more or assist in the process. So by giving them, she goes, when I prescribe Ozempic, it's a 0.25 milligram for type 1s, it's such a small amount that never gets changed, where you can gauge it to see if it's going to help you out with your insulin resistance. But they said, sorry, with your insulin not being produced. But she says lifestyle factors are what naturopathic doctors and holistic nutritionists will recommend versus a doctor who just says, take Ozempic. And with Ozempic, when you're starting with it, it'll go from a 0.25 milligram beginning dose, but then they go to 0.5, 1, up to 2.5. And then she showed the regular dose, which was that big, full of yellow, red. And she goes, this is what they're giving people with type 2 to lose weight. And that's the fucking problem.
Wow.
And it's within a 5-week period. So they ramp you up. It's like me giving you and this guy testosterone today. If I give you guys 1 cc a week for 5 weeks, it's 1 cc. If I gave you 1 cc for 6 to 7 months and I kept it at that, and bodybuilders will do 4-5 cc's, like instead of 100 milligram, they'll do 500 milligrams to get jacked. If I gave you a tiny amount for a long period of time, you will still have risks of testosterone, but it's such a small amount that the risks are not going to grow. What do meatheads do? They fucking start shoving themselves 200, 300, 400, 500 milligrams. So people who are taking Ozempic or the other drug to lose weight, they're just pumping big dosages. All these actors and shit that you see that are getting skeleton face,
they look weird.
They're just taking so much of it. And then the body goes, yo, you just gave me all this dosage for months now. Now you're going to stop it? I'm going to gain back the weight. I'm going to make the hunger that slows down and the fact that they lose their appetite and they're on a caloric deficit. Go fucking work out. Do the same shit and work out and lift weights. So
it tricks the mind.
It tricks the mind, bro. And after it's like even
when you stop, though, that's exactly what happens. You just regain everything.
Yeah. And again, because your lifestyle doesn't support it. So her thing was, again, for type ones, and we're even thinking about, you know, is we're going to speak to a few more specialists to see if it's possible, because type one and type two are night and day differences. But limping to avoid foot pain, like right now I'm starting to limp a little bit, but if you limp to avoid foot pain and low back pain over time, it's going to get worse. And that's why when my wife's like, how long are you going to be like this? I'm like, it's a weekend. I can't get a physio appointment today. I'm going to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's already starting to feel a little better because I've stopped doing a lot of things that I usually do, even with my walking pattern, stepping with my left foot, going with my right, but I'm icing it, I'm wrapping it. I'm taking a little bit of Advil. I'm going to get some ART massage as well, but they need to make sure that they take action for it.
But isn't it funny that the go-to that most men would do is how to figure out how to still move forward around the pain. Instead of solving
the pain. I love that you brought that up, bro. What are we going to call that? The Neanderthal mindset?
You know what I mean? Instead of actually addressing the pain.
Going to a doctor.
Solving it. Heal it. No, I'm going to wear tighter shoes, or I'm going to wear a band.
I'm going to go to Shoppers and buy a knee brace.
Yeah, or something. Or
a fucking, when I see guys wearing the forearm straps over their elbows, I say, sir, why are you wearing that? Even in public, if I'm at Shoppers and someone's buying them, sir, don't mean to intrude, but you know, I'm a coach. Can I ask why you're wearing that? Oh, it helps with the pain. I'm like, have you gotten any imaging done yet? Well, no, not really, but it, you know, I heard that you wear that. It's like, bro, go fucking get an ultrasound to see if you got a tear, sprain, strain, then diagnose
heal.
It.
Heal.
Don't be a Neanderthal and go around it.
But that's what they do.
In the 9 months, it's going to be... So that leads me to my next point, bro. Prehab over rehab. Let's talk about prehab.
Rehab.
Okay? Fixing your body once is expensive.
Yeah.
Time, energy, resources, but then daily joint care, daily exercise, muscle activation is going to stay for a long-term life. And if people would only pay attention to prehab, meaning... You do injury prevention. You don't wait for the pain to start. You don't listen to this podcast saying, you know what? I'm 26 right now. I'm not married. Got no kids. Got a good job. Make some good coin. Got a nice car. Got a beautiful girlfriend. I travel. I'm banking money way in the side. Hopefully you're banking some cash aside. But I'm okay. Versus, you know what? I'm going to start now getting into training, lifting, planking, because I'm going to prevent it from happening later on when I'm 37, 47. Right? And that's sometimes the problem is people have very small vision. Their window is narrow versus looking for further term. And examples like incorporating shoulder mobility exercises into your routine. One of the easiest ones that I keep teaching you every time I come here and your viewers is the ATWIs.
Yep. I remember that.
Hands to the side of the edge of your seat. You can do these fucking standing. You externally rotate your hands. You're mimicking the move, the letter A. You're retracting your scapula. You just feel good by feeling all the muscles in your shoulder tighten up. Hands to the side, the letter T's. Hands into your side here, the letter W's. And then hands up high for the letter Y. That's a simple movement you can do 15 times a day.
So as soon as you wake up in the morning?
You wake up in the morning, you're about to wash your face, just boom, 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 boom. Brush your teeth, boom. You go to work, you sit at the edge of your seat, your neck's tight, ATWI, boom. You're driving, you get out of your car, before you go get an espresso, you do a few movements to warm up that area, so you're gonna be stronger. Mobility drills and activation work, like using bands to strengthen weak areas are very important. People that are busy and are elderly, if there's any gentlemen on the show listening who are in their 40s and older, they may say, well, come on, Dimitri, I'm older. I got 3 kids. I'm paying for university. I don't got time to come to the gym.
That's just a previous show that we talked about excuses. Yeah.
Get a fucking band. That's all that is. Go to Amazon, because you're going to buy a nice drill and your drills cost a lot of money.
Yeah,
I speak to some dudes who have tools and like, oh, this was $2,000 and my tool case is worth 10 grand. bro, your back's fucking, you're wearing a strapper on your back. You got your knees strapped up. You're popping pills. Fix your body. So doing small movements with bands, getting a coach to help you out, but 10 minutes a day can prevent 80% of injuries.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line, right? A quote I got for you is the Journal of Orthopedic and Sports Physical Therapy states that routine mobility work can reduce the risk up to 45% in active individuals over 35. Why are we saying 35? Because you can be saved by the grace of being young from 18 to 25, 30. You can get away with repetitive stress syndrome because you know why?
And you can heal fast.
You can heal fast. Get that Wolverine method.
Yeah.
But it's because you weren't really a real person until you were, let's say, 20. Your teens, you're still a teenager. So from 20 to 30, you're actually, you know, becoming a man. Bone-wise, we stop growing bones around 21.
Okay.
Okay. So from like, you know, puberty 21, your bones stop growing. Muscle maturity kicks in from 28 to 38. So like even
all when besides 38,
yeah, bro. Even when guys are like, you know, I want to get big and strong. And I remember idolizing guys when I was a teenager, and I would always ask one of my buddies, bro, how do you have veins all over your arms? I was like in grade 5 or 6. And I remember constantly asking him, like he was in grade 7, and I was infatuated, like, look at this guy's arms. And he's like, I don't know what I do, bro. And then I just realized that as you get older, you know, based on your body and your lifestyle, you'll be vascular and you'll be strong. But until you reach 28, your body's still in growth mode. You can really build a physique up until your 40s, right? And it's, you know, it's an easier way to stay strong than it is to bounce back from a fucking broken injury.
It is,
right? Your buddy now is going through so much turmoil and bullshit, and it's happens.
It's going on 5 months now.
It's going on 5 months. And all he had to do beforehand was just train and get stronger, right?
And just prevent that simple as that. But now he's got to deal with it because it's a major issue.
And then lastly, I think to tie up this episode so people don't think I'm rambling on is you got to know when to train through it versus when to stop. Okay, it's very important.
Yeah. People, like you said earlier, there's ways around it, right? And if you speak to someone like you, they can guide you.
Yeah, they can tell you, like, understanding, pushing through your limits is good, but sometimes if it hurts you, knowing to know when to push and not, reading your body for pain, discomfort. Like, for example, muscle soreness after a workout and a sharp pain are two different things. Nerve pain is often going to be associated with a burning sensation.
Nerve pain.
So when I had my T67 herniated disc, parasthetica neuralgia, that was what this amazing neurologist diagnosed me with. Parasthetica neuralgia. It's Latin for this big ass word. But he basically said to me, where your T6 and T7 vertebrae are, because of the fact that I constantly, like a fool in my office, was turning to the left to grab my phone. And I mentioned this when I first met you.
Exactly.
Remember? Because my desk was like L-shaped.
Yep.
And I had my phone there. And like I'm sitting to you here, when the phone ring, I'm talking to people, I would just twist my upper body, not my lower body. I would grab the phone and then I would talk and then I'd come back. And I went to so many different doctors, got a CT scan. I got two nerve blocks. They actually put two, like almost like, what do you call those needles that women get when they're pregnant in their back?
Oh, epidural.
It's like epidural in your spine.
Really?
Yeah, bro. I had to go and they put in a certain chemical where it kind of relaxes the area, the nerves, a nerve block.
Okay.
Because my pain was fucking bad, bro. And this was like,
it was a sharp pain or it was
burning pain.
A burning pain.
This happened when Milena was born. She's 18 now. So 18 years ago, because when I was trying to put her sleep, holding her like this would kill me. And I'm like, I don't get this. Putting her in her crib would just burn me. Doing dishes would kill me. So what happened was that bit of herniation that was happening from that fucking repetitive movement was tapping on the thoracic nerves. And if you understand nerves, the cervical nerves, they start from the top of the spine and they go down the head and they go right down the elbows to the fingers. So if I whack you hard and I hurt your cervical area, you may get numbness in your fingers and your elbows, right? That's from the cervical spine. The thoracic spine, the second beautiful part of your spine, those nerves wrap around your ribs. They wrap around your body.
Okay.
So when I hit T6, T7, those guys wrap around. So if you think of spine, scapula, the two shoulder blades, and then the nerves going around, because it was tapping into that nerve on my left-hand side, it was stopping right in front of my scapula, and it was just like damaged area. And now that area, he said to me, there's no real cure because it's almost like phantom limb syndrome. When there's someone gets amputated and they feel that pain still, there's no fucking limb there. So for me, my body, when I don't train, when I sit a lot, when I fly to Greece and Italy every year, if I don't work out for 4 or 5 days and do my thoracic extensions, my book openers, that part gets back into the same area, that weakness, and then I get that tingling pain. And it's a burning pain. Huh. It's like you having a lighter to my back, and it's like, versus you were hammering all day or doing chest and back, and you're like, oh, my entire chest hurts. Well, it's beautiful for you to feel pain from all the insertion points. If someone's listening, think of me taking a knife, sticking at the top of your sternum and going right down the middle of your body, and then going all across your chest to your armpit, and then ripping from your armpit to the top of your neck where that collarbone is. If that's the pectoralis muscle, if all of that's hurting, you did a great job, because that's what we want. We want all the muscle fibers to work in one motion.
Yeah.
When it hurts in one spot, that's a dysfunction. That's a problem. So if you were to go to work and do, like when I shovel the snow sometimes and I do like 100 to the left, 100 to the right, the next day I feel sore in my back, but I was doing both movements. If you have only one side of your body hurting, that's a dysfunction. It's an imbalance.
Got it.
And that's where you got to know, like, training around an injury instead of stopping altogether. So until things
heal up. But most people choose to stop altogether.
Because they listen to their doctor, man. And the doctors, like, don't get me wrong. Doctors are amazing. Dr. Saman Raghazi at my club. You got to see this guy. Built to shreds, 8% body fat. But he's one of the younger generation doctors that trains.
Yeah.
That eats healthy. That is understanding. A lot of doctors will just say, you know, take time off.
But medicate, take time off.
You don't take time off an injury because your body's saying, please help me. That's why there's personal trainers. There's physiotherapists. There's chiropractors to go get that professional work done.
And there's really a thing where you got half your body is injured and you can't use it. And you're using the other half. That other half that's still viable is going to help.
So important. Yeah.
Really, huh?
Yeah, because you're keeping your immune system going. When COVID fucking kicked in, we got to stay inside. But why weren't they saying to us, okay, yo, we're Canada.
That's a whole
Here's
other,
a total body workout. Here's fucking vitamin C, turmeric.
It's so, an immune attacking virus.
Yeah.
Let's build the immune system.
So our bodies need it.
Yeah.
Because when you, like with me, fully fit guy, but when I don't work out and I'm sitting in a plane for many hours, that burn kicks in. And it comes every year when that's why before I go to away, I'll do a foam rollout movement the night before. I bring my foam roller with me in my luggage. As soon as I get off the plane and I get back to our hotel, bang, I foam roll myself. And for anyone listening, go buy yourself a foam roller. I'm not sponsored by anybody, but it's the cheapest, most effective way. I'm thinking about it now for the tradespeople, a lacrosse ball and the foam roller. Next time I come up, I'll do an episode and I'll share with you guys, or I'll record one. I'll put in the show notes. I have in the show notes. I already made one on YouTube. I'll put in the show notes. But the foam roller is the best, because when you sit back at the end of your day and you lie in your glute, you can foam roll your low back. And think of getting a masseuse for free.
So what are you doing? You're putting the foam roll underneath your lower back?
And there's a sequence. You go first, you go over the low back, and you can roll a certain degree, right? Because if you roll too much, you put too much pressure in the side. Then you roll to thoracic spine. You lie midway, you open up your back, and you can feel that increased range of motion. Then you roll out your glutes and your ass and your lats, and it hurts. Like when the most delicate muscles to work are going to be the latissimus dorsi all the way down to the side. They kill. Chest is okay. Glutes we should do. And what you're doing is you're creating myofiber contractions. You're think of it this way. If you're going to have a sprinter sprint, and I take our editing videographer or you sprint, and I say, ready, set, go. When the sprinter sprints because he's trained on exercising, strength training, powerlifting, myofascial release, foam rolling, when he says go, all the muscle fibers in the glutes, in the hams, in the quads, they fire. It's like a machine. Wham, wham, wham. Cylinders in the car. What if I tell you to do it now and you've got already a fucking stiff, sore spasm in your glutes, your back? Now, when you say sprint or run or bend over, all the fibers are trying to go to work and they're like, whoa, this guy's not working. You pull the lever, you come a little tighter, the guy gets an injury.
Yeah.
So the foam roller is beautiful because you lie on your back, roll yourself out. And when you feel that knot, you sit in the area, you take a little lacrosse ball, you put it on your back and you literally sit there, put a sock in it. So take the ball, put it in a sock, because now you could take that sock and put it over my shoulder and go against the wall. And I can just push against the wall.
Okay.
Or when you're driving, if guys in the trades drive an hour here, an hour back, put the fucking ball behind your low back, put it in your spine, lean back into it, put it under your glute. If you got back pain and while you're sitting, you got a little bit of that pressure because the spasmed muscles are all in knots. Well, when you go to massage, what are they doing? They break up the knots. They're
breaking up the knots.
Yeah. So the foam roller is going to help with that. The lacrosse ball is going to help with that. And then again, once you break up the knots and you make them unknotted, what do you got to do? You got to contract them. You got to
strengthen them.
You got to put weight on them to get them stronger. And, you know, you can modify. Then
the injury won't come back. The stiffness won't come back. It won't,
because now when it's about to come back, and think of a scaffold that's weak, it's going to crumble when there's things that are not supporting it properly.
Yeah.
But if you get your support system, you're good to go. And again, switching from high impact to low impact exercises can maintain fitness levels. So if someone says, listen, I'm injured, you can still continue training, just knowing how to train at a certain degree and level.
And if you don't know, ask. Just ask someone, man.
Ask, bro. The last quote I got here, the stat was, according to the American Council or the American College of Sports Medicine, proper load management reduces overuse injuries in working adults by 50%. And what that means is proper load management. Look at the word there, load management. Anyone on the job site picks up a barrel of wire, they pick up a barrel of supplies, they pick up bricks. They just pick it up. They don't think, okay, I'm picking up 50 bricks and moving them over there. So when I go there, I'm going to grab it. I'm going to bend my knees, push my hips out, arch my back, flex my stomach hard as if someone's taking a bat, and they're going to fucking whack me in the midsection. And then before I lift it, I push down on my legs and exhale. So now it's like you're doing a deadlift. You're pressing down on the earth. You're doing 3B breathing, which is you're bracing before your breath. Right. And then as you stand up with that piece of brick and you move to the side, your body's contracted. You can't get injured versus let's just get this done. Bend over, grab it. The 3 inches of extension are from your lower lumbars, not your fucking legs.
Yeah.
Your wrists are taking the load. The twisting is half ass. That's how you get injured. So load management is super important. And, you know, you can't really, you want to tie this episode and give people the opportunity to know that there's so much knowledge coming out, especially from these messages, that if someone listens to episodes we did 1, 2, and 3 and doesn't take action, I hope when they get to this one, they're like, okay, you know what? I'm getting free resources here.
Yeah.
From like a fitness professional. I'm getting it from Manny with all the professionals he brings on board. You got to take action.
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't take action, I would always love the to know as a wise man when I'm older, when I'm 90 and 110, that I don't want to have pain of regret. I want to have the pain of either saying, you know what, I tried everything, but maybe I never tried enough.
I look at it this way, coach. You got two lives that you could live. You could either live a life where you're recovering from injuries all the time, or you can live a life where you avoid injuries all the time.
Yes.
And I think the older you get and the more stubborn you are, you're going to be doing the reactive instead of the proactive. And you don't want to live a life like that. You want to be able to do whatever. So then if you have opportunities like lifting up your grandchild, like doing certain things in the garden.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like we're all going to get to be seniors, bro.
Exactly. We're all going to get older. And I do, because I pay attention to seniors and they obviously do move slower. They're cautious. And the whole falling thing is a major thing, and having some sort of strength resistance. If you're lucky, I've said it over and over on the show so many times, if you're lucky, you're going to be an old person. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. You hear that, bro? That's good. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, you're going to be an old person. And if you want to be an old person, it's a question of, do you want to be an old person with a bunch of injuries, or do you want to be an old person that's active?
Right.
Right? I don't want to recover from injuries all the time. I want to avoid injuries all the time. That's why we're doing these shows. Because we want to help
people. Yeah, they're great. And for anyone listening, please do us a favor. Share this with friends and family. Share with people you know at the job site. When you're there, like literally say, guys, I'm going to be the leader in your group or the crew of people you work with, and say, yo, at lunchtime, I'm going to send you guys a text message of this episode so you guys can hear it. Because people all respond to education different ways.
Yep.
Some people are visual. They need to visually watch this on YouTube, which I hope you guys will. They'll listen to it. Some people are like, you know what? I'm kinesthetic. Like, I heard it's great, but I want to go try it. I'm going to actually go open up a YouTube or call Dimitri or try this out. And some people, they want to research it. They want to read. They want to, you know,
do it.
They want to say, is this guy like legit? Yeah. Is he a real coach? And do it. But if you can spread this out to people, it'll help you out. And then I always believe that the Spartan mentality that I wear on my wrist, the tattoo on my back, the tattoo that says happiness is a decision on my arm, I have a certain life. And like you said, if you're lucky to become 90, you're lucky to become senior. But there needs to be a point in time in our life where as men, we look ourselves in the mirror and we say, do I love this guy in front of me? And when I die and they say to me on my deathbed, this is the person I am, did I do as much as I could have? And I think if every man, forget women right now, we're not talking about women, because women have another place in our lives. And for any women listening in the trades world.
We're not
world,
ignoring you, we're not dismissing
not
you.
Not at all. No. But we're talking about the men who are supposed to provide, protect, and be procreative for you, for the woman. If you do not have self-respect for yourself, the money you have means nothing. Because there's a builder who's coming to train with us this week. Beautiful man. He was one of my first founding members from 19 years ago. He's in his retirement now. And he's trained with us for almost 18 years. And for the last 4 or 5 years, he hasn't trained with us because he got a new home and he moved away. But now he reached out to me. He's 82 and he's dealing with balance issues. He's noticing that when he's walking, he's kind of leaning forward. And the minute he came into the gym and I helped him out with certain movements, he recognized that, bro, I'm 82, I'm not dead. And this guy's doing seated rows, he's standing up, he's doing all these movements, and now he's looking forward to a new world again at 82 versus calling it quits in your 30s or 40s.
Right? Sitting in a chair, being in an inclined bed. Like there is an opportunity to be an active elderly person.
100%. And you know what? Because you're in the trades, you got to say, you know what? Because I'm in this industry, I got to take care of my body. My daughter today, we went to York University for her orientation day and I couldn't believe it. It's like, wow, this is finally happening. The teachers, I asked the teachers, listen, are you guys going to teach these kids business lessons or something? Because they're going to graduate with all this knowledge and they're going to be bookworms.
Yep.
And I already told my daughter, you got to be an entrepreneur from now. And they go, oh no, we actually have a course which teaches them about financing, about making sure that they exercise. And because they go artists and, you know, animators and 3D people, they spend 7 hours without moving from a desk. Everything's drawing like electronical, right? And they have a talent. But a lot of these kids that they're seeing are becoming fucking overweight. They're gaining 25, 35 pounds in university. They're creating all these beautiful masterpieces. But bro, you're not working out.
You're gonna have a hard life later on.
And she turned to me, she looked at me, she winked because she knew that all the shit that I'm saying to her, whether you're 12 years old, 18, or fucking 35, 40, you got to work out. Because every job we take is going to require some form of movement, some form of sedentary base, and some form of spasticity where you have to react quickly and do shit. Especially if you're carrying stuff and you're moving. Think about going up a ladder. I'll end this off with a little analogy. You're going up a ladder. I remember that when my electricians came in and were doing my lighting, bro, just to change this light bulb, you got to sit there and twist and hold. And,
yep.
And I go to them, man, my shoulders are killing. And they're laughing at me because look at this bodybuilder. He can't really twist. As you're going up that ladder and as you're going in a position where you're not grounded, you're not no base, you've got one hand on, you're in a position where you're an unorthodox position. Your spine is basically saying, please, let's work together to help you keep you strong. But that spine is not doing it in the proper situation, which should be on the floor with a barbell, kettlebell, with a dumbbell, with a box. And we're giving ourselves the opportunities for getting injured far too early, and it's not needed. So
what I love, this is a great one. I love this one.
Small injuries today, big problems tomorrow, people.
And I also want to let everybody know that as we wrap this one up, the next one, it doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young, how old.
Yeah, next middle, Friday, man, we're going to kill that one.
You can start. You can start, and then you can find the best physical and mental health years of your life.
Yep, there's no age category.
There's no age. There's no, and there, you shouldn't be
my
giving yourself.
My mom's 78. She's a beast.
Yeah, so there's no age. So then we're going to show you, we're going to talk to you, we're going to let you know that you can start and find your best physical, mental health ever.
Yeah, man, tune in, and tune in on Fridays because we're going to be doing this on a regular basis.
Awesome. That's it. We're out of here.
Welcome to Fitness Fridays on the Construction Life Podcast, brought to you by Pure Motivation Fitness and myself, Coach Dimitri, your go-to expert for building strength, energy, and a blueprint for mindset. With over 29 years of body type training experience, coaching men and women to unlock their peak performance, I cut through the noise to give you the real, no BS strategies that will fit your lifestyle, whether you're on the job site or hitting the gym. No gimmicks, no fluff, just science-based back fitness, motivation, and the tools you need to perform at your best. Stay tuned because you're about to change the way you think about your health, performance, and mindset. Are you ready to kick it? Let's go.